Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Another broadcast that it is our prayer and desire to see you listen and become involved, ask questions, have dialogue and discussion with us on these issues. As we face the issues each day, of course, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe truth is a statement or an issue that most are not interested in today. Truth. What is truth? Jesus answered that question in John 17:17, when he said, "Thy word is truth." And so as we face issues each day, may I encourage you to be encouraged based on the authority of Scripture. As we face the issues, we do so based on what the Word of God says. God's Word deals with every issue, every problem, every social, political, spiritual, biblical, theological issue that we could consider. God's Word has the answer for us. It is the book of all books. God created the home, He created government, He created the church, and He did so in that order. And so anything in those three categories that we would think of as an issue literally blankets and covers all of life, all of the issues that we would ever be faced with. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject, what happened at the horse races, or if you want to put it this way, the Kentucky Derby and biblical truth. Sometimes we need to think of issues based on what's current, what's taking place, and how it affects and how it should affect our lives and how we should think on it as Christians. Well, it looks like the owner of the horse, Maximum Security, is going to file a lawsuit against the Kentucky Derby because his horse was disqualified as the winner. Perhaps you've heard that. It's been a real, how would you say, blanket news on the fake media for the past several days now, since the race last Saturday, I believe it was. But Maximum Security, the horse and his rider, encroached on the Country House. That is the horse named Country House. Thus, he was disqualified. I just say in my statement, wow, that's unusual. In fact, it's the most unusual thing I believe that the Derby's had, as I understand their history. But just think that now, millions of dollars of gambling money, millions upon millions of dollars of gambling money is at stake. And this is the ultimate problem, of course, the ultimate winning horse and its owners were disqualified, but the winning horse, the one that ultimately won, I'm sure they were delighted as a result of it. But let me just read you a couple of articles to set the pace, and then we'll take our call and have dialogue and discussion on this today. Yes, an article says, "What in the world happened at the 2019 Kentucky Derby?" Dateline Louisville, Kentucky. A large portion of the crowd booed when the numbers appeared on the tote board, and a group of veteran reporters in the media room underneath the Churchill Downs grandstand gasped. In the weird and wacky 145-year-old history of Kentucky Derby, this was something brand new. The stewards, or the racing officials, who enforced the rules and regulations at the track, decided to disqualify Maximum Security. Now, I want us to notice two or three things as I glance through this article for our edification. It says here that they are the ones that enforce the rules and regulations at the track. Decided to disqualify Maximum Security, the clear winner of the race, in favor of runner-up Country Horse. or country house, I keep calling him a horse, making the first time in history of the Kentucky Derby that the winner was disqualified. That is in all, in fact, based on a foul. The stewards disqualified Maximum Security from first place for drifting into the path of War of Will, who in turn had to alter the course and affected several of the horses. Maximum Security was dropped to 17th place behind the long range Todd, who it was determined had been affected by the disrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is quite lengthy. Here's the headline of another one. Country House wins Derby, Kentucky Derby, after Maximum Security is disqualified. For the first time in the history of the race, the horse who crossed the finish line was first and was disqualified for interference and stripped of his title. Further in the article, it says, on Saturday, Maximum Security won America's most famous race of the track until he didn't win. For the first time in history of the race, the horse who crossed the finish line first was disqualified for interference and was stripped of his title before a stunned crowd of more than 150,000 people. That was not counting those by way of television. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, this race has caused a major upset. And the owner of the horse that Maximum Security that they thought would be the winner, in fact, one that ultimately won, I understand, was about a 65-1 long shot, as they call it, in the gambling arena. But it causes me to be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, of an issue very similar to this, and I've tried to research to find it online and could not find the keywords to get it. But I recall some 15, 18, 20 years ago, a very similar event took place, but it was a little bit dissimilar. But it was with a horse race, and it was heavy, heavy, heavy fog that covered the track. And one of the riders jumped the fence, crossed the green, jumped the fence again, got in front of the pack, and won the race. He had already been summons to the races, the winner's arena, and he was about to be recognized as the winner of the race when the officials went back and looked at the videotape and realized that it was very visible of what he had done. He thought because of the fog, no one would see it, no one would know it, so therefore he was violating the rules, violating the regulations and the guidelines for the race, and he won, but he did not win. He was disqualified because he had not followed the rules and the regulations of the race. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the point that we're going to talk about today, because you see, in every game, in every race, in every athletic event, in every game of sports, football, basketball, baseball, et cetera, there are rules that must be followed if you're going to win and win authentically and legally. This is what we're going to talk about this broadcast today. I think that we, especially as Christians, need to understand running the race of life and what it entails and the requirements biblically. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, I just, in analyzing that which took place at Churchill Downs there in that Kentucky Derby, my daughter deals with horses. She has a bunch of them, and she's been teaching folks to ride for years now. She, at her young age, probably has over 20 years experience in the saddle and in training horses and training people. And, you know, when a rider is completely prepared and when a horse is completely prepared for the race, you would think that they were one being, that they're literally working completely in harmony with one another. You can't distinguish one from the other. The mind of the rider and the mind of the horse are locked in sync, and they're doing exactly what that rider intends for that horse to do. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way reality works out sometimes. You know, though they're supposed to operate as one, that horse, Maximum Security, that horse probably has a little spook when it comes to water. By the way, that's very common. Matter of fact, you take a horse out to the beach and you think you have a trained horse, but if they have not seen the ocean before, they will absolutely turn into the most spooky, dangerous creature in the world. And they're weird. in that, let's say you get this horse used to the water. You're walking down the beach, and the horse, the water is off to the right side of the horse, and the horse gets real accustomed to that. Finally, you get the horse in the water, and the horse is accustomed to that. And you turn the horse around, all of a sudden, the left side of the horse sees this water. The left side of the horse goes crazy. So, I mean, it's just an interesting thing about a horse.
Well, one of the things, if I could jump in, one of the things that the analyst of this spooking, as you call it, and that's probably a correct term, of the horse, because at that part of the bend, and I'm not a fan of horse racing, I'm not a fan of gambling. In fact, we'll talk about that later. It is should be a disqualification for any Christian, because gambling is sin. It is unbiblical. But according to the officials, and I've read lengthy articles about this subject for this broadcast today, but according to the officials, at that point of the bend in the track, there's the large gallery of people, and when the horses get to that point, the gallery of people all of a sudden let out screeches and screams and basically shouting and excitement, I'm sure, and it evidently is possible at that point to spook the horse. And the arena officials, the Derby officials, say that that's probably what happened. But nevertheless, even at the spooking of the horse, the rider has the responsibility, just as you had articulated, of controlling that horse to keep him in line and not bump or nudge or push or touch another horse in the race that could cause, as in this case, the disqualification.
Well, that's just it. The entirety of the burden is put upon that rider to keep the horse in line. And I believe we can find a corollary in Scripture with a human nature that's in place, a sinful human nature. However, we're charged with our own actions. You know, in the end, we'll be judged on these activities in our life. And though for the believer, that human nature is still there. I think, and I don't want to chase that rabbit too far. However, Paul, I think, said he had to crucify the old man daily. I think Christians, regardless of their stage and their walk with the Lord, there's the challenge to deal with that old man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know this. You know, there's another corollary. It kind of goes into the political. This fella that's running for president out of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg or Buttigieg, people like to call him Mayor Pete. He's gone on to full blown assault against Mike Pence. Now, I've watched a lot of interaction. You know, the communication back and forth. Mike Pence has always, it seemed like, been very respectful and very decent, very kind. To this fella, but this Mayor Pete wants to, if you will, throw Mike Pence under the bus and make him out to be this evil fella. And at the end of one of his communications recently, this Pete Buttigieg said that if Mike Pence had a problem with him, and he's a homosexual, as I should say, is involved in the lifestyle as a homosexual.
And he's a homosexual. He's married to a homosexual. He's married to a man.
Right. Well, my point is, he doesn't just have the inclination in that direction or the temptation in that direction. He's actively participant in the lifestyle. Nonetheless, he said that you know, if Mike had a problem with him, it was a problem with his maker, with his creator. That, you know, this is way above his pay grade. And you go, hold on a second. This fellow's now just blamed God for his sin. You know, you're the you're the rider in this race. You're the participant in this race. Now, I'm not talking presidential race. I'm talking this race of life. And there are all these temptations out here, whether it's temptation of homosexuality or the temptation to, like, you've talked about the horse and rider that jumped the fence. Well, you have marathon runners that have done this before. Where they'll, you know, step out of line. You run part of the race and then go over and get on a subway train and go to the near the finish line and hop back out and jump into the race. You know, there's temptations to do all sorts of different things to obtain victory or to get the desired result, to get some high or to get some pleasure. There are all sorts of temptations out there for folks. Don't blame God. Don't blame God because you're tempted and then give in to that temptation. That's not God's fault. That's your fault.
Good illustration. good illustration. It is going back to the game of life, the race of life. And in the race of life, the living as we are today, so many times people will try to go through life without following the rules. A good example of that, most of the listeners are probably aware of that and have heard about it. Some of the wealthy parents that bribed university officials to accept their child or their children into the Americans' most prestigious schools. And I understand that one parent paid a little over $6 million to have their child, their daughters enrolled and accepted in one of California's prestigious universities. And their daughters were accepted as rowing athletes. They had never rowed in their lives, but they were accepted on that basis. Fallacious, phony pictures were made, placing rowers, those out in the rowboats, rowing with their daughters' heads placed on it by photoshopping, and had them entered into the school. And now a major, major uproar taking place as a result of that. In fact, the article I have before me says, massive admission scandal. Details emerged about indictments of wealthy parents who allegedly found ways to rig the system. Coaches lose their jobs, and some call for the discussion of the many legal advantages for the family of means. And it goes on to talk about what had happened and the number of them. There's about 50 indictments that have been handed down as of March the 13th. And it goes in hand in glove with what we're talking about with the horse racing and the race that had taken place, and the one that was supposed to be the winner was disqualified. Many times, that is exactly what happens. The Apostle Paul says that he's running, but in his running the race of life, he didn't want to end up being disqualified. And yet we have the scripture very, very clearly talking about that very fact. In fact, in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, the second chapter, I'm going to read a verse for our discussion. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The word strive there simply means to contend, to engage in, to be in a contest. And the imagery here is that of an athlete in the arena running the race, and the contestant running the race. And he must run the race following the rules, the regulations, and the guidelines. And there are multitudes today that are trying to run the race of life without following the guidelines. In fact, you find that, find it interesting, and I don't know if you are aware of it, heard about it. I find it sad but fascinating. It shows very poignantly what we're talking about today. Two mayors, one that's the mayor of a town in Texas, another the mayor of a town in North Carolina. Two mayors, both are now being removed from office because it was discovered that they had been elected by some very fraudulent voter means. One had set up in a very elaborate scheme of having voters, and the number of votes that each of them had won by, it was discovered that the number of votes that they'd fraudulently received was more than enough to have disqualified them. And we're talking about following the rules and the guidelines for life and living. Many today contend in the race called life, and somehow, some way, they feel that there's not a need to follow the rules and the regulations. Let me just make a little reminder for our listening audience also. If you want to join in this dialogue and discussion in relationship to the subject at hand today, and we're talking about a very unusual subject, what happened at the horse races, the Kentucky Derby, and biblical truth. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, and you can join in this discussion. I'm discussing now with Greg some of the issues that we're talking about. And Greg, what else can we think about? What else can you say we discuss in relationship to those that do not want to follow the guidelines, the rules for life? And by the way, the best rule book for life and living is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word sets down the guidelines for us as to how we ought to live and what we ought to do.
Well, we're as believers, you know, we look forward to the day of hearing, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But we recognize that throughout humanity, there's so many that that want to try to take another course. They want to try to, you know, as they not just race horses, but these horses that are involved in hunter-jumper competitions, and they've got a particular pattern they have to run the horse, and they have to jump over certain jumps and go in between certain obstacles. If that horse doesn't run the right pattern, if the horse runs it backwards or skips one of the jumps, if they continue the race, that event is a disqualifying event. You know, they can double back and quickly, many times depending on the competition, double back and quickly complete the assigned task. If they missed it, you know, you just missed a jump, you double back, you make the jump. But if they just ignore it and they go on, at the end of the race, they'll get a DQ. They don't get scored. They don't get points for they came in really quick. You know, they don't get it's disqualifying. In this particular Kentucky Derby race, people go, why in the world was Maximum Security, I guess that's the horse, why was this horse disqualified? And, you know, courts may determine something differently. But if you look at the slow motion, the split second where that horse left its lane and into the other horse's lane, the legs, rear legs of Maximum Security, the front legs of the other horse were intertwined with one another ever so briefly. In just perhaps millimeters made the difference between if those horses would actually have a collision with their hooves, with their legs. Do you know the calamity that would have taken place? If
you'd had dead horses, dead riders.
That's right. Right now, everybody's concerned about the gambling. Everybody's concerned about the victory. Everybody's concerned about the crown, you know. But the calamity that could take place just because of breaking one little rule. So those rules do have a purpose. They do have an underlying a reason, a rationale. God has rules. He has an established purpose. Jesus used the words. These aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So somebody may run the course of their entire, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years of life, and they go, you know what? I've done a lot of great things. But they don't pass through that gate called Jesus. They think they're going through another gate. They think they're taking a different course. They've chosen, that singer said, I did it my way, right? You can't do it your way. We don't get to run the race the way we want to run the race and still at the end expect victory.
That's right. You touched on a moment ago this mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg. He's trying to run the race in life his way. God's way says one man, one woman, one lifestyle, one lifetime. God's way is that he created a male and female, created he them, Genesis 1:27. And he's making light of, making fun of, and rejecting God's guidelines for life and living. Just as the wealthy parents were rejecting the proper way, they decided they would go against the rules and regulations to get their sons and daughters in the prestigious schools, just as with Maximum Security, though it may have been in error, but nevertheless, the rules are there. You have rules in basketball, football, baseball, any of the sports or athletic arenas. You have the guidelines and the rules. God is the precursor. God is the one that foreordained rules and regulations and guidelines for life and living. There are certain things that cannot be done in a Christian's life. For example, one of the things that this redounds to, dealing with the race, the horse racing, one of the things that it redounds to, perhaps more than anything else, that is the overshadowing, looming, if you please, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, is the question, is gambling sin? Is that something that Christians ought to participate in? And somehow, some way, there's the mindset that it's okay. And this particular race, there are hundreds of thousands, if not, yay, even hundreds of millions of dollars involved in the race from the gambling standpoint. God is still warned against the temptation of being involved. And yet most people, when they gamble, it's because they become addicted to the love of money, according to the scripture. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I'll just gallop into the discussion gingerly here. And I like to take the right course with the right horse. And who's the right horse, brother? The one who rides the white stallion in Revelation. Then we're truly in stable condition.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah and amen. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you for your call. That's a good capstone on the discussion. I think that's absolutely outstanding. That's the one that wins in the end. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for your call. Thank you for calling today. Yes, sir. Greg, what do you think from the standpoint of my statement in relationship to the question, is gambling a sin? And let me just do a little footnote to that before I turn you loose with it. Many Christians wonder if gambling is a sin, wonder what the Bible says about it. And there are a lot of folks that will say, well, casinos are not found in the Bible, lottery is not found in the Bible, but yet many of those get-rich-quick schemes are out in the world today. But God's Word is very, very clear in relationship to the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us. And it's as a result of that that many will go against what is the guidelines of life and living. In fact, one other little footnote for that, there are some students that will attempt to pass a final exam by cheating. Last week, a mega church pastor resigned from the pulpit. He had been, quote, pretending he was saved for 40 years, been pastoring for some 20 years in a mega church. He resigned the pulpit and apologized to the people and to the world by way of Twitter. And he said for over 20 years, he's been preaching the Bible and talking about the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. When in fact, he had studied mythology in his high school years and never could get those things out of his mind and viewed the Bible and the miracles and Jesus and the virgin birth and anything that were biblical characters, he viewed them as mythological statements and creatures and not real. And therefore he said, you know, I'm just going to resign. But he was trying to do something, not follow the guidelines and the rules and the regulations. What do you say in relationship to this basic big picture called life and what we're doing today, and God's book, the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, that's our guidelines, that should be our guidelines, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. How should we respond to what we're talking about today with what happened at the horse race and the Derby?
Well, you touched on the gambling thing, and I feel, as a cousin once expressed to me, I feel very strongly about that on both sides. The lost world is going to be the lost world, and it's full of sin, and I would encourage them to come to know Christ, and Christ to give you a different perspective on life. For the believer, I'd say, guess what? Every dime that hits your pocket, every dime that hits your wallet, every dollar that goes in that account, that's not yours. You're a steward of those dollars. You're a steward of the resources placed in your hands. As a good steward of someone else's resources, what would you be found doing when the master returns? And do you want to say, and sadly, this is condemnatory of all sorts, including myself, my own life, am I the best steward? Well, no, sometimes I'm not. I think the Southern Baptist Convention years ago, they had invested millions of dollars that were supposed to go into church construction and church building and church planting. They had invested that in different structures, blue chip stocks or whatever. And you go, that sounds great. You go, but that was not the purpose. The purpose was to build, and the investment ought to be the investment in a place where rust and moth do not corrupt and where thieves don't break in and steal. Our investments as believers ought to be laid up in glory. But as kind of a wrap to all of it from my perspective, you had Paul also in that Second Timothy saying, I fought the good fight, I finished my course. I think about a course, running the race and being on course and doing it the right way. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. He's going, I did it the right way. I think there's a point in Scripture where Paul actually says, watch me, and as I follow Christ, you follow me. You don't find that much in Scripture. How many people could say that? Could any believer listening today, can you say that? Say, as I follow Christ, I want you to look at me and my life, and you follow me. But we ought to be able to say that. That ought to be the challenge put forth today. That verse 8 in that same text, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We ought to all be seeking the crown of righteousness. But
yes,
today, run the race the right way.
Run the race the right way. Let me wrap up this. We've got about 30 seconds, Greg. This article says more than $6.2 million had been placed on with bets on maximum security to win. And winning the Kentucky Derby had significant, extreme significance. Kentucky Derby winner colt immediately shoots up in the value and perspective of the breeders, not to mention more than $3 million purse at stake in the winning. But yet the scripture says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's following the race. That's following the rules, the guidelines. And may I remind our listening audience today, as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, let God's word be the guidebook in our service and our surrender unto his lordship. Don't allow these things in the world to get us caught up in it and digress and defer our eyes from the race that God has for us. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course, the Apostle Paul says. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening today and joining in this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.